We got a call between Sunday School and church and asked for a prayer request for J.O. Bullington. Some of you know J.O. That's we're grandpas and laws on the other side. J.O. is our daughter Lana's father-in-law, and they asked, could we please pray for him? And so would you join me, and let's do that right now. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, and we want to, Lord, we want to give this service into your hands. We pray that every word that is spoken today would be of you and not of me. I pray that you'd forgive me of anything that would stand in the way of you being able to use me today to bring your message. We pray for J.O. right now and for his family. We just pray for your healing to be upon his body. We pray, God, that you do a work there. We pray for the hearts of each person who is here today. And we just pray, God, that our hearts would be open to your message, that our spiritual eyes would be opened up to be able to see the truth of your word. Lord, if there is one here that does not yet know you as Savior, that this would be the day that that person would commit their heart and their life to you. Perhaps there's folks here today who are out of your will. In their own life, they know that they're away from you. Been able to keep that a secret. Their family doesn't know it. But you know it. And we pray, Lord, that there'd be a working of your Spirit in those lives. I pray for the fathers that are in this congregation today, that you would help us, Lord, to stand firm in your word, to be the father that you've called us to be, the grandpa that you've called us to be. I pray for the mothers that are in this congregation, that your hand would be upon them. And Lord, that they wouldn't just be going through the motions, but you would really do a work in their lives, that you'd use them. They'd be like you. I pray for the young people that fill this church almost every time we meet. Lord, I pray that you'd make a difference in their lives. Lord, that whatever it would take for them to come to really know you, not just go through the motions, but know you in a real way, so much so that their lives are totally and absolutely changed. God, do a work among us. Bring revival into our church and into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. You've been hearing this a lot, and you'll probably hear it a lot in the next few weeks. Luke 2, and beginning with verse 1, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. What a privilege you have to be able to hold God's word in your hand. You think about how many places you can go in the world and that would not be the case. People would not have their own Bible. And you have a great privilege to be able to carry that book with you, to be able to have it in your presence, and also to have the knowledge to be able to read it, and then to have the Holy Spirit living in your heart to be able to explain that word to you. You are very privileged. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. You may be seated. If we were to depend on society to tell us the meaning of Christmas, we would miss the meaning completely. But we can depend upon Scripture to tell us the meaning of Christmas and why we have this celebration at this time every year. There are three things that I want to bring to our attention today in the meaning of Christmas as we look at this passage and other passages, as we study the privilege that we have to be able to come here and to celebrate the fact that Jesus has come. First of all, he is the child of promise. He fulfills all of Scripture. He fulfills everything that the old prophets had to say, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but he fulfills everything, all the prophets of the Old Testament's prediction that the Messiah would come. And so, he is the child of promise. Secondly, he is the incarnation of God. It is that, and I do not understand it, nor would I be able to explain how God could come to this earth. Now, I know that sometimes we get a wrong view of God, that perhaps he is... He's a grandfather figure sitting on a throne in heaven. I believe he is sitting on a throne in heaven, but you and I must understand he is the God of the universe. You see, our heart would not beat another time were it not that he held things together. The universe would not stay in its order were it not that he kept things in order. And in this little minute world that you and I live in, there is all the creation of the galaxies that we have seen and are unable to see, that stretch beyond anything that you and I can possibly imagine. And while God is alive in my heart and life by the power of the Holy Spirit, He is also alive in your heart and life. And also that is true for folks that are on the other side of the globe if they know Christ in the free pardon of sin, the incarnation of God. And then finally, if we get that far along, He is the hope of the world. There is no other hope. Now, my dear friend, there is no other hope for you and for me other than Jesus Christ. He is life. Not only does He give life, He is the life. He is all. He is everything. If you could some way reach to an explanation to the very highest point, He goes beyond that. The meaning of Christmas is the child of promise. In the book of Genesis, the third chapter, and I'd like for us to turn to that, Genesis 3, and look down at verse 15. God had created the world. He had placed Adam and Eve in the garden in a perfect place, and He'd given them choices. They made the wrong choice, and they sinned. And because of their sin, sin was passed down to all humanity. Because of their sin was passed to you and to me.